Lord, just thank you for being here with us in such a profound way this evening. Help me to speak simply, clearly, profoundly, deep into the heart. Lord, take away everything that would stop people from hearing words that can give life. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Now, you're visiting tonight, or maybe you're among those, like Karen said tonight, you've been sitting here. You're enthused. You like the way you feel. You like watching the choir sing. And you like the good feeling that comes from just being in this kind of an environment, but you don't fully get it. We heard testimonies about that tonight. Maybe you've been raised in some form of religion, but somewhere along the line, the purpose of it has been stolen from your heart by just letting it slip through your fingers, or maybe somebody has taken it from you. As we heard from Isabel tonight, although you have something in your heart that tells you, I was born for more than this. I was born for something deeper than the way I'm living. I was born for a purpose that's more profound than anything that I've ever experienced. It's not something that I can put tangibly my hands on. It's just something I feel in my heart. You know, it's funny. When I was just a child, I remember I used to go out in my backyard at that time. I'd lay down. There was a stone patio there, and I would just kind of look up at the sky. And isn't it strange, even from the age of childhood, maybe 4 or 5 years old, I knew I was born for a purpose. I didn't know what it was. But there was a sense in my heart. And all through my life, even through my teen years, even through the years of confusion and rebellion and struggle, that feeling never went away, that I was born for something more than this. Now, I want to read you some words that are attributed to Jesus Christ. They're Old Testament words, but they're words that the Jewish people knew could only be fulfilled by that person that would come to the earth that God promised would be the fulfillment of everything I've ever promised you as people. It would all come through a person, not which they knew to be the Messiah. Now, they had an anticipation of what this would look like, and so do you. I don't know what their viewpoint was, but I do know that when Jesus Christ stood in the temple in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and declared himself to be the fulfillment of the promise, because he was so ordinary, because it was something other than what they expected it to be, they were offended at it. But here's the promise that God made through Jesus Christ, and let me just read it to you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. In other words, I've come to bring good news to those who know that there is something more that they're missing. They're not proud. They're not weak. They're just meek. There's just an inner awareness that there's something more to life than what I'm experiencing right now. And they're smart enough to admit it. Meek enough, as the scripture says. And Jesus said, for you, I have good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. As a surgeon with skillful hands, that sense of emptiness, the woundings that have come into our lives, the deep longings of the heart, he said, I've come to fulfill them. I've come to bind them. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. In other words, freedom to those that appear to be free. Like Ruth shared tonight, the appearance of freedom, but a long trailer of heart that seemingly is always just very near, and you can't put it away from you. And also freedom to those who are presently bound in a prison, and you just don't know how you're ever going to get out of it. It's a prison in your mind. It's a prison in your heart. It's for some people here tonight, life is a prison. There are even people here tonight that are despairing of even living another day. He said, I've come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, you don't have to do anything. This is the time when you can know the fulfillment of these promises. You can actually be free in a moment of time. You can be healed. You can be set on another course. You can find the actual purpose for which you were created. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Vengeance of our God. That's an incredible statement, isn't it? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to declare the day of the vengeance of our God. Now that's an incredible, that's twofold. There is a day when all sin will be judged. We know that. But there was a day when God judged sin. A price had to be paid. When our forefathers sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin passed on to the whole human race. We were born to sin. Sin is rebellion against a holy God. We sin against God in thought, word, and deed. Have you ever noticed you don't have to teach a child to say no, you have to teach them to say yes. We are born to sin. We are born to be selfish. We are born to lie. We are born to move far away from God because the nature of the sin that came into humankind in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God and we can make choices without consequences. And for this, a price had to be paid. And many people have paid a terrible price for it throughout the years. Just look at history. The terrible price of sin. Go out on our streets on a Thursday night, a Friday night, a Tuesday night, and look at the consequence of sin. Look at the price that people are paying for sin right now in our midst. But there was another price, an ultimate price. God said a price had to be paid or you couldn't come back to him again. So God sent his son to the earth and poured out his wrath, his anger as it is against sin. He poured it all out on his own son on a cross 2,000 years ago. And the day of vengeance of God against sin was satisfied on Calvary when Jesus died for you. To put it simply, an innocent man took your place. For every lie you've told, for everything you've stole, for every lustful thought you've had, for every wrong word you've spoken, for every time you've offended the nature of a holy God, for every time you've sinned against God and your fellow man, for everything you've done and everything that was done to you, God poured out his own wrath and his own vengeance upon his own son on a cross. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon himself the full measure of the wrath of God, and he did it because he loved you. He did it so that you could go free. He did it, he said, to comfort those that mourn, to comfort those who didn't see a way out, that didn't know how they're going to get through the future, had no assurance that when I die that I'm going anywhere that's of any profit. And he said, not only to die for you, but to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. If you and I have the sense to admit that our lives have not amounted to what God destined them to be, try to puff it up, try to build it into what we think it should be, but really, realistically, without God, it's just a pile of ashes. That's why we can be blown away by the wind and adversity so quickly. That's why we seemingly have no power to stand when adversity comes. When we're called upon to present as it is something solid, we seemingly have no power to do it. He said, I've come to give you the oil of joy for mourning. Beauty for the ashes of your life and the oil of joy for all of the sorrow that's in your heart. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That means you'll have a future. There's something appointed to you, not just in time, but for eternity. And even though you go through the fire, even though you have to walk through the flood, it will not overwhelm you. It won't swallow you. You'll still be able to raise your hands. You'll still be able to lift your voice. This doesn't have to be a Sunday night feeling, folks. Do you understand? It can be part of your life every day. Amen. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I've come to give you solidness. I've come to give you roots. I've come to show you the reason for which you were born. And you will build the old wastes and raise up former desolations and repair waste cities and bring back to health. I'm paraphrasing, but this is really what it says. Bring back to health that which has been ruined through many generations. In other words, you will have a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of speaking. And it will all be about the glory of God and people around you. You were born to glorify God. You were born to be the extended hand of God in a world that is going farther and farther and farther away from truth. You were born to walk in the supernatural, to be something that you could never be in yourself. To go into places you could never hope to go without God. To do things that cannot be done apart from the supernatural life of God within you. This is the reason for which you were born. I wish to God I had heard this message when I was in my teen years. All the heartache I could have saved and been spared. I wish somebody had come to me and told me these things when I was 18, 19, 20, 21. All of the pain that could have been spared. But thank God that somebody finally came when I was 24. Thank God somebody finally stood before me and said, Carter, if you give your life to Jesus, there's a promise that your sin will be forgiven and you will become another person. The presence of God will come into your life and you will be changed from the inside out and you'll be taken places you could never go. You'll be made into things you could never hope to be in yourself. Thank God somebody finally stood there and told me these words. And I remember listening to it saying, is it possible? Could this be true? And then finally one day in 1978, I just pulled over on the side of the road and I said, oh Jesus, if these things are true, then I invite you into my life. I'm sorry for my sin. And I invite you, God, into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. And that day, with that simple prayer, he met me. Changed me. I was never the same again. And every day, every moment, every hour, little by little, moment by moment, he lets me experience just a little bit more of his life and creates in your heart such a taste for him because you can never reach the end of who he is on this side of eternity. Do you understand that? You and I can never become the full. All we can do is long and move and walk with him. And day by day, new mercies get to be known. New strengths come, new freedoms, new joys, new power to walk through adversity. God does all of it. In us and for us. That's what the gospel is all about. Freedom from sin. Forgiveness for the penalty of the wrong we've done. And the promise of a new life. Now, does it happen instantaneously at the altar? If I come forward tonight, does it happen just in a moment of time? Well, theoretically, yes, it does. But the outworking of it takes time. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, you weren't formed into the person you are in just a matter of a few seconds. But you were given life at that moment. And that life needed time to nurture and to grow. There had to be things added and things had to develop. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. But when you come to Jesus Christ and sin is put away, the life of God becomes yours. And yes, you are born into the kingdom of God in a moment of time. And line by line, step by step, little by little, you begin to change and you begin to become aware that the change is supernatural. It's not of you, it is God in you that brings about the change. And one day you'll be on a platform like this, like these three ladies were tonight, and you will be sharing your story of what God did for you. And you don't have to make it up. You don't have to sit down and say, well, what do I think people want to hear from me? No, the story is very, very real. You just tell it the way it happened. You just unlock it, unfold it, and you just speak it straight out. Because people are not looking for some religious pie in the sky that can't be attained. They're just looking for reality. How do I get a hold of this? You get a hold of it by going to the cross of Jesus Christ tonight. You stand in meekness before God and say, Lord, I cannot save myself and I cannot ever be the person you've destined me to be without you in my life. That's meekness. It's an acknowledging that I need God. And you open your heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Now, sin is rebellion against God. It's every wrong thing you've done that violates the character of a holy God. It violates the very person that you were intended to be. That's what sin is. You say, Lord, I'm sorry that my sin sent you to a cross, but I'm so thankful you cared enough for me that you went to that cross. And so tonight I open my heart, and Jesus Christ, I invite you to come in and be my Lord and my Savior. And the Bible says that that moment you are born again. It's as if your life starts all over again. The power of sin, the power of hopelessness, the power of heaviness, the power of imprisonment, it's all broken. And you become a new person. That's the evidence that this is real. You don't have to necessarily believe everything I'm telling you tonight, but I challenge you to experience it for yourself, and that will settle the doubt. You have to taste and see that the Lord is. You have to make the step. Nobody's going to do it for you. You have to make the step. And say, Jesus, if this is true, then you have my life. You have the rest of my life. And Jesus will look at you and say, I've waited for this moment. I've longed for it. I've wanted it. That's why I went to a cross. Because I've wanted to come to you. I've wanted to walk with you. I've wanted to heal you. I've wanted to restore you. I've wanted to prepare a place for you that you can be with me for not just here on earth, but forever, for eternity. I've wanted to take away the fear, the guilt, the worry, the shame, the pain, and give you a new life. And there's no other way that you can find that but through faith in the fact that God has reached out to you through his Son. He reaches out his hand to you, and the only thing left to do is for you and me to reach out your hand to him. That's all that remains. No matter what you've done or where you're coming from, whether you are the victim or whether you are the victimizer, you still can receive forgiveness from God tonight. You can be made into a new person and be set free from the power of trying to live without God. If it's in your heart to do that tonight, if you want to say this evening, Pastor, my heart is warmed by this evening. It's warmed by the words and the songs and the testimonies. And if this is right, I open my heart and I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. If that is in your heart tonight, I'm going to ask you just unashamedly, raise your hand right now, wherever you are. God, go ahead. God bless you all over. Balcony too as well. God, just raise your hand everywhere you are. Now, for those who raise their hand to receive Jesus Christ, in a moment we're going to stand and I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and come forward here and just meet with me and we're going to pray together. Now, you will not be made to do anything foolish. You don't have to be afraid of this. You're not asked to join anything. Just come forward. We will pray a simple prayer. And if you mean it with all your heart, you can know that your sins are forgiven and you can know that God has come to you and will carry you through time and prepare a place for you to be with him forever. Now, if you brought somebody with you tonight and they didn't raise their hand but perhaps would like to come forward, then you can offer to bring that person with you to this altar this evening and we'll pray together. Annex too as well for the people in the annex. You can make your way over here. We're going to stand in just a moment. And as we do, those who raise their hands and those who want to receive Christ as Savior, please, please don't go to hell when you can go to heaven. Don't die in your sin when you can be forgiven. Don't live in mediocrity when you can have the life of Christ for your own. And as we stand, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and make your way to this altar. And I promise you that after we pray, the testimonies, the songs, everything you've experienced in this house will be yours. And you can take it home with you tonight. Let's stand together, please. And as we begin to worship, just slide out of your seat, wherever you are. Those who raise their hands, please make your way down here. Just start right now. Make your way here. You want to receive Christ as your Savior. Bless the Lord. Just move in closely, please. Do you realize tonight, those that have come, and you're coming back to the God who made you. And you're coming from, I can see tonight, you're coming from every nation, you're coming from every tribe. That's what the Bible says. Christ died for all people everywhere. Coming from every possible walk of life, young, old, middle-aged, all coming to that level ground of humility before God to say, Jesus, I can't save myself. Only you can save me. The Bible says that God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you should not die in your sin, but you'll have everlasting life. And Jesus himself said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, deeper, fuller, more meaningful, more powerful than anything that you've ever tried or could ever try in this world. Jesus said, it's all in me. Everything you've longed for, I've come to give you. And it all begins with a simple prayer. And the simple prayer is, Lord, I've sinned against you, God, and I deserve to be judged. But because you loved me, you judged yourself, your only son, that I can go free. Tonight, I open my heart to you and ask you to come in to be my Savior. It's not a formula. You just have to mean it in your heart. You're coming to give your life to Jesus Christ and everything that that's going to mean for your future. Some of you are going to end up in the mission field. That means you're going to be in places you never dreamed you're going to be, doing things you never dreamed you're going to do, caring for people you don't care about right now, but you will soon. This is something that God's going to do. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. He changes you. And that's the evidence, really, that it's real. Could you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sin. I don't want to live this way anymore. Tonight, I've heard the good news that you died for me. You paid the price for all of my wrong. And so I give it all to you, Lord. The whole mess of my life. And you promised me beauty. And you promised me joy. And you promised me purpose and eternity in heaven. And so tonight I open my heart. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I invite you into my life to be my Lord, my God, and my Savior for the rest of my days. Help me to follow you, to live for you. Teach me what I am because of you. Guide me into the future. From this day forward, I am your servant. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving me, for receiving me, and for saving me. I am from this day forward a child of God, a forgiven child of God. I have a future. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now just thank him. Now let me tell you what's going to happen to some of you. You're going to go home and you're going to cry like you haven't cried in a long time. You're just going to get alone in your room and just the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. That's the Spirit of God. And he's just going to wash out of your life all that stuff. All the hurt, all the pain, all the loneliness, all the lostness, he's just going to wash it away. And you're going to cry. But it's not an abnormal thing. It's one of the most healthy crying you'll ever have done in your life. Some of you are going to shout. Some of you are going to dance. Some of you are not going to feel a whole lot, but tomorrow you'll just know you're different. But we will meet again.